There we go. That's what I meant to hit. And I was like, why isn't it letting me do this? Hi, Thursday Warriors.
Woo.
We are, just so you know, Todd, we call our watchers Thursday Warriors, if you
all right
didn't know that. So,
is it called Toddites or something?
We you know what? We actually gave it up to them. And there were some pretty good names, and Thursday Warriors was the one that we all liked the most. So,
right. Power.
So we're going to let people get in here a little bit and ask some questions. Just say, yeah. Oh, Dan's here. All right. Cool. All right.
Hi, Dan.
So just so you guys know, you can do like put questions in the chat and I will feed them to Todd as we go. In the YouTube chat, Todd, not the Zoom chat. You and I are the only two in the Zoom chat, just so you know.
All right.
Real quick, some NDC housekeeping. So we have the Cranberry anniversary sale coming up on Saturday. Make sure you guys go out to Cranberry and check that out. We got some couple deals going on there. Then next week we have cosplay karaoke down at the Hard Rock, where Jeremiah and I, who normally host it, have a really fun cosplay we're gonna do, and to start off the whole night, it's gonna be hilarious. So you make sure you want to do that. You can go to Three Rivers Comic Con, hit schedule, hit cosplay karaoke, feeds you right to the event and the ticket link. It's $5 to go. All the proceeds go to Heroes Initiative. Lots of fun. If you are randomly up in Kane, PA on Saturday, you can find Todd buying comics and drinking beer. Surprise, only to the people in Kane. So
you're not surprised.
I'll be surprised if you can make it up there if we get the snow that we're supposed to. So that'll be fun.
That was a hazard. And I have to take the van because the impetus for the trip was I'm looking at a 10,000 book collection. So figure while I'm up there, I'm going to stop at the brewery anyway. I might as well camp out for a little while and review some collections. So we'll see if anybody shows up.
But
Funny Phil comes after me.
Oh, that's right. Are you going to yell at him for 6 more weeks of winter?
Yeah, I don't know what to do. So I don't know if he's gonna.
Just don't let him drive the van angry. So
yeah.
So tonight, obviously it's just me. Tim couldn't make it. He had some stuff come up. So Todd is here too. He loves to tell stories. I don't know if you guys have ever met Todd, but it is literally story after story after story after about beer 14. So
they help.
So he wants to talk specifically about when he bought Stanley Media. At least that's the story originally you told me.
I have three.
Go ahead.
May I or?
Well, firstly, let me share my thing here. I did find a couple pictures. Oh crap! Honestly,
it occurred to me that I have these stories, and they're kind of fun. Anybody likes to hear about Stan Lee, and if you know if somebody's met them, they love to hear these stories. And mine are kind of.
Oh unique. Wait, sorry, that's just Todd.
Whoa!
Ah, and, retro buddy.
Yeah, that's I can't put a year to that.
I would bet you that's probably about 13 years old, ballpark, because I think that anniversary issue came out around the time I started working for you, I think.
Yeah, that anniversary was done for the 15th anniversary. So that's obviously printed in the background.
Okay.
It's somewhere between, 21 years and now ago. So probably close to 21 years ago.
All right. So, whoops. What the hell? Come on, computer. There we go. So,
it's the one.
So you guys have heard me joke about how Todd has a small shrine to Stanley in his house. This is the picture that has candles. Like if you can imagine it with just candles up the sides, it's got its own little pedestal.
Yes, it's true.
I mean, it's either that or you have a shrine to yourself. It's one of the two.
That's right.
And that also is why Todd's name on Zoom says Titanic Todd. Stanley gave him that name. I'll let him tell that story in a little bit. And then I'm going to stop sharing because I have some other stuff that is like Stanley Media stuff some pictures of that kind of stuff. So,
oh, good.
Take it away, boss.
I did not grab those props. So yeah, the Backstreet Boys and whatever else. So there's that photo. I don't know what you have, what you don't have. So, so yeah, I think it's maybe the first and only time I've asked to be on the Toddcast. You dragged me on, I think last year for the 35th anniversary, and it's not a problem. I'm happy to do it. But it occurred to me, I don't know what's it been, John, maybe a month ago, that I really haven't, like people ask me these stories about how I've met Stan Lee a million times. It'd be nice to just get him on here, it'd be a recording, and let people, as they care to, hear about it. So I'm going to do my best to make them entertaining.
I have no problem with an every 6 month visit of Todd stories. It makes it easy for us.
I don't have time to write them down, so I might as well get them out this way. And then, right. When you're dead gone, you'll have something to look back on and remember the good times. So, so they're kind of three Stanley stories. So the first one starts kind of in 1992. I went to a sales conference sponsored by Capital City Distribution, one of the big distributors at the time. And I flew into Madison, Wisconsin, I believe it was, a very tiny airport. And from there, I take that back. These are the details I wish I had a chance to research, but I'm not sure I can figure them out myself. But anyway, I go to this conference, a very small airport, one of the guests there, as well as Susie Owens, who I will explain in a minute. So anyway, I go to the conference. I see Susie. I'm also explaining now. Susie, actually, she was in a comic book called Flaxen. I do have one prop. This is the second issue. And she was promoting, I believe, the first issue at the time. And I managed to drag her into my store. In fact, if you find this copy laying around, there's a picture of me. I think I'm doing that right. That's it. How am I doing?
Down a little. There you go.
All right.
There you go.
During the tour she did, sponsored by Bill Leibowitz of Golden Apple in Los Angeles. So I'm new at retailing at the time, and these conferences were all about meeting these guys and kind of picking their brains to find out, how they've run such a successful business over the years. Anyway, so Bill did this kind of offshoot special project with Susie. Susie was a Playboy centerfold. And she had kind of a resurrection kind of story. She was this frumpy nurse that, turned around and became a Playboy centerfold. So then they decided to make a superhero out of her. And so she was one of the guests there, met her there. And the only reason I'm explaining this is, so the conference happens. Stan Lee is one of the guests at the conference and does the usual Stan Lee stuff, lines and lines, crowds and crowds. And this is just for retailers. This isn't even open to fans. But as we're all aware, retailers are fans too. So fast forward to the end of the conference, and it's time for me to catch my flight out. I get to my flight early, and I'm actually the first one at the gate. And it's one of those kind of flights where it's a small flight that's connecting into, I believe, Chicago. And so everyone was flying out of this little airport to go to Chicago to catch their respective flights wherever they were going. So I'm sitting there in the airport by myself, and along comes another guy, Will Eisner. Down across from me. Have you ever heard the story, John?
No. This is a brand new story for me to hear too, which is awesome.
Well, here we go. So, let's see if I can remember this. So Will Eisner sits down across from me, and I'm wearing a comic t-shirt or a logo or something. And there's literally just he and I. And so we just strike up a conversation talking about whatever and comics, the industry, all of it. And then couple other people show up, and then Stan Lee shows up. And Stan and Will, of course, got to know each other over the years. And Stan sits down next to Will, who I'm already having a conversation with. And they start chatting about the same sorts of things, sort of industry stuff. And I wish I could remember the topic, but at some point they're having a little bit of a disagreement about something. And Will turns to me and says, "Well, you're the retailer, Todd. What do you think?" So I'm supposed to settle this argument between Stan Lee and Will Eisner. And that's why I don't remember what it was, because there was no settling this argument. So I wish I could remember what we talked about, but I don't. And then, so Susie Owens comes along kind of late, and we're all in the same flight. So get on the flight, it was a connection to Chicago. It's a short flight from there. I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour maybe, Chicago, and I was already chatting with Susie as well. And we were already talking about this store appearance. And at some point, I also saw Stan on the flight. I said, hey, I guess you're gonna have a connection. Do you mind if we talk a little bit while you're waiting for your next flight? And he, in classic fashion, he's like, sure, no problem. So I ended up following him, just walking him. And my flight was, I had time to kill too. Ended up just walking with him to his gate, just talking about comic book stuff. I don't remember what, by the way, somewhere this is chronicled, this encounter is chronicled in one of the newsletters that we used to do. So back mostly in the 90s. So somewhere we should dig that out, and I probably have a box somewhere. That would have been a good refresher for me for this part of the story. So at some point, I walk to the end of his gate. He signs a business card for me, so I have that somewhere. And I basically at some point was like, well, Stan, I know you got to catch a flight. I told Susie I'd go keep her company at her gate. So I go to do that. So I had to choose between Stan Lee or Playboy Centerfold was part of my problem. And Todd McDavid problems, right?
Oh, I mean, those are good problems to have, I guess.
Yeah. So anyway, I go keep her company for she gets on her flight. I go away. And so I think I start writing the stuff down immediately so it would be fresh for the newsletter. And so that's probably the first time I met Stan. Then fast forward to trying to think what happened next. I want to say the Stan Lee media thing happened. So that there's the middle story. I can't remember if it happened in the middle or I'm sorry. I really should have taken some better notes.
Wait. Did you actually get to go to the Stan Lee media building at all?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. That's pretty did story. You see this god awful rug?
I don't remember that mural. I don't remember any of that. So
okay, this might have been like his or a office maybe, but
I sat at his desk.
Oh wow,
which is the story.
While I was finding these photos, I was like, God, that is an awful rug, like just so bad.
Yeah, I really don't remember it, and I don't know if it came back way or something. I don't know. So
continue on.
So Ron Friends, who's been a friend of New Dimension Comics for many, many years, and has followed our antics, including my habit that I did quite a bit more in the 90s of kind of buying out overstock and obsolete. So he had a friend who was associated with Stan Lee Media, in particular Stan's assistant. And Stan Lee Media went bankrupt, and part of what had to be done was all of that stuff had to be liquidated. So Stanley's assistant asked this guy, hey, do you know somebody? I guess he's casually talking to Ron. And Ron says, oh, there's this guy, he seems to buy like all this crazy stuff. I don't know what I bought at the time that clicked on his radar. Maybe the Eclipse stuff. I don't remember. So anyway, connections got made that way. And so I started talking to Stan's assistant about what to do. And it just so happened that a month or two after that, I had plans to go to Los Angeles, where all the stuff was, for a meeting with DC Comics. At the time, DC Comics was hosting retailer meetings, kind of focus group meetings, and that year's meeting was going to be in LA. DC always did a great job because like, they were associated with Warner Brothers. It would be like on the Warner Brothers lot. It was always a good time to like see the behind the scenes stuff, and depending on what was filming, you usually get the tour set. So I get there. And I'm fast forwarding too much. So I make arrangements that while I'm going to fly out to LA early, and side story to all this is Carl Altstatter, who is the artist for Deity, which was a comic book we did an exclusive for back in 1998. I don't know what year this would have been. I think late 90s. And Carl's in LA too. And we became good friends just doing that project. So I flew out a day early, hung out with him. He showed me around LA, and he actually showed me around. He was the one, he's basically my chauffeur to all this, these appointments I had to get to. So late in the day, I had to be basically at the DC meeting at say 4 o'clock that day. So I worked it out that in the morning, I would go and see this stuff in storage that was Stan Lee Media stuff. And it was mostly, might be Graphic Time, Backstreet Boys comics. We just had these in some of the stores, some blueprints to Marvel Mania restaurant. Yeah, I was the proud owner of thousands and thousands of those. And people laughed at me, but we did really well with them. And I think we still continue to do well with them. We're down to just a few. There's a promo poster that I have a bunch of. I'm missing something.
Hold on. The only thing that was super awesome that I found online in our eBay store, actually.
There's a promo photo. Oh, there's that too. That's nice.
One size fits all, guys. Come on. Come on. I'm super rare. $5.
$5. Wow.
ndcomics.com. Hit shop. Scroll down. Hit eBay. Type in Stanley Media. This is what you get.
Oh, that was it. I got all the animation art too. I forgot something, which we ended up selling to Nick Carter.
That's even crazier.
Lead singer of the Backstreet Boys, for those who don't know, because I didn't know. All right, so I'm at these storage units and I'm looking through stuff. I'm sorry. First, we go to the offices. There's some things stored at the offices that they needed a separate offer on. And I guess this is all basically their Stan's comp copies. So it sounds kind of cool that it was like Stan's library of things, but it was just like Marvel was still sending him like whatever books they were doing. And, you know, they got the sense he just scored them away in a closet somewhere. The only cool thing that was in there that, and I ended up not getting this batch of stuff, was some of the stuff from Stanley Media. Was it was obviously defunct, but the credit card that was Stanley's credit card for Stanley Media. So I thought that would be cool, but alas, I'm sure it ended up getting shredded as it should have been. I see the offices and Stan's not there, of course. I get to sit at his desk. Someone has a picture of me doing that. And it's kind of fun. And then, so from there we go to the storage unit area. And so that's where I have to see the bulk of the Backstreet Project comic books and that sort of thing. And at this point it's like late morning, maybe early afternoon. And Stan's assistant is shepherding me through this entire process. And she gets a phone call and she steps away and I'm still looking through stuff. She steps back over and she goes, "Hey Todd, what are you doing for lunch? Stan's free. He wants to know if you want to meet him for lunch." And so we did the math. Where we were in LA was, and anyone knows LA, it's a cluster. To get where we were to lunch and then for me to get to the DC meeting on time with traffic and logistics wasn't going to happen. So I declined. I blew off Stan Lee for lunch. I could have had lunch with Stan Lee and yet no, it didn't happen. And her answer was, "Hey, anytime you're out in LA, it's an open invitation. We'll get it together." Like, and of course, never made it back to LA, or at least I didn't when it worked out. So, all because ironically, because I had to go to a meeting with DC Comics, you know, Marvel's competitor. I thought that was kind of a fun twist of the story.
And so, that, if I remember correctly, that DC meeting is what kind of evolved into what's now Comics Pro, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Which is for you guys that don't know. It's kind of like the comic shops that really, really give a shit, pay money to bitch at publishers and distributors in a way more sophisticated way than the non-paid members get to. And it happens once a year and we get all kinds of cool, like firsthand early bird looks at things, except nowadays like Rich Johnson somehow just like Skypes in as well and just gets it all. Look for all of those leaks on at the end of this month, because that's what Comics Pro is. So.
Wow, I don't know if I would endorse it that way. Okay.
No, it's actually I like them because those meetings have done more. And that organization has done more better things for the industry than I've ever seen at just a regular Diamond Summit or anything else. Like they actually like are a good voice to take to places. So
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very cool thing and I'm proud to be part of it. So
same.
Continue on, sir. Continue on. Sorry.
All right. So I think I'm stuck in a storage unit, sweating in LA, looking at Backstreet Boys comics. And at some point I figure out what to pay for all the stuff. And at some point we buy it. And at some point, you know, then we had to do the logistics to get it shipped out because it was pallets and pallets of Backstreet Boys stuff. And so that happens. I go to the DC meeting and So I stay in contact a little bit. And at some point it dawns on me that, wow, I just bought out Stanley Media. That's kind of cool. I should probably find a way for this to endorse New Dimension Comics. So I asked through Stan's assistant, I asked for a quote referencing his experience. And that's obviously on our website. And John and I have been wrestling about how to maybe make better use of this, but it's a little lengthy, which is nice because Stan had a lot to say. But it was in that quote that I got a Stan Lee name, Titanic Todd. So pretty happy about that. I really should put that in my business card.
There it is. There's the full quote.
There it is. Adjust that. So that happened. And so the quote happened. And I realized, wow, I really need to get a picture with him. And obviously pictures with Stan Lee became a thing at cons in his later years where it was very formulaic. I had to basically, at a con he was appearing, they weren't doing pictures at that convention at that time. This was 2010, by the way, that I looked up, excuse me. And I worked it out with his assistant to, hey, I just need 5 minutes. I'll get a photographer in. And so somewhere, John, there's a CD of 900 million pictures of me with Stan Lee. And believe it or not, the one that we use is the best one, I think.
And really?
Hair day, but nobody's looking at me anyway, so I don't care. So I wanted a picture to accompany it, of course. And anybody that ever meets Stan Lee, and I need to say this one more time, says he's exactly how you think he is. Like, he's that fun, jovial guy. I go to get this picture taken. He's like, no, this isn't going to end up on a post office wall. Now, is it Buster or Skippy or some like nickname?
Skippy.
And he's laughing the whole time. And, he knows it's just something to do. And 5 minutes, and there were a couple other people that had a similar engagement, but they were interviewing him. It was mostly that. But that's all I needed was 5 minutes. It was 5 minutes, and it was great. And I bowed out very quickly. It was good stuff. And then I guess you kind of know the rest. We've been using that picture, and I think it's posted in each of the stores at this moment. Mm-hmm. And the story sounded like it was more interesting. So somewhere in there, the story. Okay, so that's kind of the end. I'm sorry. The quote was cool. Somewhere, I think towards this happening, maybe after this happened, we bought a significant Silver Age collection, and it got some news attention because of what it was. I don't remember, just sizable enough, or it was a slow news day, and somebody decided to cover it. So one thing led to another. You were mentioning Hero Initiative earlier. Hero Initiative got wind of this collection, and same guy, Jim McLaughlin, contacted me, and Stan Lee was a supporter as well. And he said, hey, Todd, what we'd like to do is ask you to donate. I think we did 50 books, and Stan will autograph them. And, obviously the more significant Stan things would be more important. And our part was just the books would be out of our hands. Then they would sell them. Hero Initiative would sell them, or I can't remember if they sold them or we sold them, something. And then the premium that they garnered through being autographed by Stan was to be donated to Hero Initiative. So somehow all that happened. I don't remember how we exchanged money. It's not important, but all that became equitable. So, and slightly part of my thing was like, he would sign a couple extra things for me. So my thing is, Spider-Man number one, signed by Stan Lee.
Yeah.
And the other thing is obviously the photo. So photo of me with him, like, I gotta have that signed.
Yeah, I told the story about how you busted that comic out at your Christmas party this year. And then your buddy John was just like, how much is this worth? And I kind of ballparked it. And he's like, I can't hold this anymore. Take this away from me. I'm like, dude, it's in a case for a reason, man. It's okay.
Yeah. I probably haven't had it out since. So we did that fundraiser for Hero Initiative at least twice, if not three times. And it was a little complicated, but I guess Stan's kind of rule was he would do just about anything for that charity. He kind of, obviously aging, his kind of rule was he didn't want to leave his office and he wanted it to take about a half an hour. So, and all that was easy to do. The other one you haven't seen, I don't think, John, that I had that he autographed for me. I have a Captain America number.
Oh, I have seen that.
It's the first Stan Lee comic book. It's the first time he wrote something. And I think it wasn't even a comic story. I think it was like a prose, like a, just a text story back somewhere. So it's always kind of fun when any of these guys that we got to know over the years, and Jim in particular, when he would bring a pile of books, you know, and Stan will sign Spider-Man ones all day long and not blink an eye because everyone has him do it. But that one made him stop. He's like, see that very often. I'm like, no, you don't. So I got that going for me. I don't know. I this is kind of anticlimactic, but I think that's the story. So unless there are questions in the middle, you know, I'm better at this at the bar maybe, but I at least want to get these stories out there so people know where that photo came from. So there's a bit of a lead into that.
Right.
It's helped me a lot. It's helped a lot. A lot of people have reached out about selling significant collections, and they are not shy about saying, hey, Stan Lee says you're a good egg. We'd like to do business with you. So that's worked out great. And thanks, Stan.
Yep. All right. There are no questions in the chat, so I'm going to give some guys some time to literally pick Todd's brain questions. So come on. There are seven of you watching right now. Somebody's got to have a fun question. We get a lot more in posts.
No problem. And I really feel like I'm missing something. I was a little unprepared for this day. John and I talked about doing this, I think, a week or two ago, and I neglected to put it on my calendar. And as we all know, it's been a bit of a lazy day. Just a little bit of our energy is sapped away from all the ice everywhere. And I don't know.
Did you guys get a lot more ice and rain up there? Because like we just got rain down here.
A few hours ago, the trees were starting to glisten and get laminated.
Okay.
I haven't ventured out since it's been dark. So.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't done anything but take the dogs out, and it's just been rain. So, guys, where are your questions? Come on. Come on. We never get this opportunity.
So there's a side story in there that's kind of fun. So I had all this Backstreet Boys stuff, and they were coming into concert many years ago, and we still had all these comic books. I'm like, well, while they're in concert, this is a great golden opportunity. I need to find a way to bring these comics to the concert and kind of hook up with the merchandise people and either me sell them myself there and do it a consignment or whatever they needed, or just sell them, wholesale them a bunch. So I managed to contact the merch guy, got it all worked out, and did some follow-up closer to the event and wasn't hearing back from him. I'm like, all right, that's fine. I know when the concert is. I'll just get there really early. And I had this whole display figured out, mostly comics, but I had some of the animation art. We had the original art to the comic too. I think we still have that actually.
Yeah.
So I go to the concert, and man, hours before, there's this just giant line already of basically like girls that were 13 and are now 20 something waiting to come go see them. And
that was no, sir. I'm pretty sure that they'd be in their 30s by now.
Yeah, was... you know, whatever. They look 20s. Anyway, they were there to impress Nick Carter, apparently.
Fair enough.
I march in and I drop the guy's name. And I'm like, hey, I worked it out to sell this stuff at a local comic shop, you know, whole routine. And the security guy walks me back to someone, and he steps away for a second. And he goes, who did you talk to? I say the guy's name. He's like, well, he died about a month ago.
And I'm like, oh.
Well, in typical Todd fashion, I said, well, who do I got to talk to sell some comic books here tonight? He's like, well, and he steps away and he's like, he comes back and he goes, yeah, we're not going to work that out. Security will escort you out. I'm like, oh man, I put all this effort into this. I was going to suffer through a Backstreet Boys concert just to sell some Backstreet Boys comics for $5 a piece or 10 or whatever we're going to do. So in my frustration, I decide, you know what? I'm going to grab a pile of these and I'm going to walk that line of hundreds of people and try to sell some of these for $5 a piece. And just, I'll do it that way. Yeah. Just kind of do it kind of a gorilla.
Outside scalper guy.
Right. Outside scalper guy. Absolutely. You know, like I'm yeah, tailgate, yeah, yeah.
You want to check out my comic books?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It was a warm summer day, or I would have done that for sure. So I run the line and I do my best, and I get a lot of weird looks. And I got a lot of looks like, get away from me. I got a lot of looks like, why would I come to book? And didn't sell a single one. Tucked my tail between my legs and got in the car, went home. So, and meanwhile, we disagree with them otherwise. So,
okay.
I love people make fun of me. I'm like laughing all the way to the bank. How long ago was that? I bought that stuff in. That's the one I have a hard time with. I think it was late 90s, maybe 2000, right in there. Because I was trying to think of maybe
that would have been like during the hype. So
trying to connect. So again, I was the only, if we can figure out when we did the Deity exclusive.
Hold on, let me look.
It was a couple years after that, because again, I was became friends with Carl through that project. It was Deity Zero, if that's what you're looking up. Just the publishing date of that, like add a couple years. Maybe more than a couple.
Let's see.
He did other stuff.
1997, according to mycomicshop.com.
All right.
I can blow that up.
Thousands sounds about right. And I'm trying to. So the other thing that would be, there it is. the other thing that would help me narrow it down is so that DC did several meetings at Warner Brothers Studio, and if I could remember what show or movie was out then, I want to say we saw the Birds of Prey. So whatever year.
Oh man.
Okay. So now
hold on. I think that was 2000 or 99 or 2000.
So prior to that, we didn't see the set. They were super clamped down about that. But one of the bat.
2002 was Birds of Prey.
So that's a pretty decent guess. I bet you that was the year I went to LA and started this process.
I was a sophomore in college.
Wow. And that kind of makes sense because it took several years. So I said the picture was taken in 2010.
Yeah.
Many years after the fact. So that makes sense.
Oh, hold on. We got some questions for you. Wrongamiss has two separate things in here. First one, I know last time Todd was on, he did his origin story, but can he tell us about how he first started adding collections to sell at the store?
Adding collections to sell?
Like, I guess, how you first started, like, how you started with rebuying, like, when did that really start taking off, I guess? Like, I assume you started out with, like, new books, I think is what he's saying. And then you went to back issues and wall books and stuff like that. Because, like, if I remember correctly from the other poster we have in every store, it started off with just one counter with a piece of glass on it.
Yes, it did.
19 Alpha Flight 1's in there.
Yeah. I think there's a Watchmen 1 under the glass, too. That's how I can date it. But I know it was 86. Sort of 86. Honestly, I was doing that even for at a store. So I remember, I wish I could remember what was in it. I remember I would place ads in local papers. And this is in Elwood City where we have a store. That's my hometown. So as you can imagine, Elwood City, just a small town. They had no outlet to sell comics. I would get some hits. And I remember one was this horror collection that was probably like amazing EC stuff. But I can't remember what it was. But I remember a couple collectors that probably knew more than I did at the time or had an interest in that. Beyond me, like, to me it was just a thing. Like, other they were cool, but like I was into Alpha Flight and X-Men. I like don't really care about this horror stuff. Now I love it, of course, but so I remember buying collections like that and spreading them out in the living room, and guys would come over to my house and like, oh, what do you want for this pile? And that's how that stuff would go away. So I think I was doing it always. But you're right. Then there's definitely a focus on new comics, having that first store and moving forward. But now I think, you know, maybe the question is like, we're very relentless about buying stuff to the point where I'm traveling. I was traveling this past weekend. I bought stuff. Traveling this weekend to Kane, Pennsylvania to buy stuff. And there's many, many more that I'm either waiting for them to kind of click. That's usually where I'm like, hey, John, sorry, I got to disappear for a little while. And it's pretty rare I hop on a plane, but there's a giant one right now. I always feel like I'm jinxing it if I talk about it. Like, John, I haven't even told you, there's a giant one that's going to be, like, when they say jump, I'm getting on a plane. So it'll be
so newsworthy. I have to run the company per normal. Okay.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, and then I just show up and I'm like, hey, by the way, we got to sell this pile of stuff. Like today, I took
Right.
Here we can do that. We're gonna premiere some really high grade stuff. Probably at our cranberry store. We decided. Does that work out? Am I allowed to leak that information?
That's fine. So, okay. So yeah, guys. There's two Todd McDivitts in NDC. There is, hey, we just bought a shit ton of comics and we got to put this out. And I just bought an awesome collection and I'm gonna be over here doing this thing. And then, hey, what are you doing? I don't like that, even though you've been doing it for a year one way, I'm going to change it and it's going to be weird. So you cannot let the boss part go. And so if I go gray, yeah, that's right. Why, just so you guys know. So
I just like to live the fantasy that I still have a say.
you sometimes do. We'll let you believe you do. so the second part of that question is, did you ever have to go to auctions, flea markets, or estate sales? How do you find all the old comics? I think about just driving around to flea markets to find old books.
Very rarely. Yes, but very rarely. Like, we're in a great position with six locations and, you know, just our reputation, really. I mean, just longevity and reputation, you know, kind of get both hand in hand, I think, that people come to us. We're in this weird spot now where, like, guys that have been collecting and customers of ours for decades, for whatever reason, they're deciding, oh, I've done it forever. It's time to part with my 10,000 book collection. And, you know, whether it's age, money, you know, the lost interest, whatever, they all have a reason. And they, because of their experience with us, they come to us. And it's very flattering that, you know, we treated them so well for so long that they know we'll treat them well on the other end of the equation. So, but I do have a couple of fun stories about, I guess, not yard sales. I've never found, I like to go to yard sales, and people see me, they might know that I'm in the comic biz, or maybe I'm wearing a logo or something. They'll think that's why I'm there. But really, I just like to go look at people's junk and, you know, end up buying like some kitchen utensil I never heard of, you know, something weird. But I'm not one of those guys that gets up at 6 a.m. and has got to go like see the first, you know, get the first crack. So, and there's probably opportunities to do that. I just don't. Usually I'm sleeping in, leisurely make a coffee, and then it's just a bit of an adventure for like a Saturday in the spring and summer. I'm trying to think of the best thing I ever found at a yard sale, but whatever it was, obviously it's not remarkable. The sort of best thing I ever found at a there's an antique mall that I used to, if I was bored for a day, I'd go, and same thing, I just like to look at the junk. But there was a booth that had comic books, and I didn't even feel guilty about this. They had a Justice League 17, and they were looking up in the price guide, and they looked up volume 2 of Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the Kevin Maguire run.
Yeah.
Did anyone do the math on this? So they had like $3 in Justice League 17. It was like, I don't know. It wasn't a lot. It was like a $40 book. Like, it's a classic. Well, they put the price on it they want. I'm going to pay that price. So that was one good fun. Estate sales and auctions. There was a really, really cool one. Really cool one in Ohio many, many, many years ago. And, the auction guy figured out what he had, and he even took the step to get stuff graded, which wasn't important for the crowd, but a lot of other comic dealers were there, so it's kind of fun. One of our good buddies from Ohio, John Haynes, we'll give him a shout out, was there, and there were books from like the mid 30s there, like crazy, crazy stuff.
And John's, I remember, bread and butter right there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And like, he's been doing this longer than you and I combined. Like, he's
wow. He's what was he like, -3 and like reading comics?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But so there's one book in particular I really wanted, and John was kind enough to back off and not bid on it. It's a detective, I think it was 13, and it's cool because it has an ad for Action One in it. And I just thought that was cool. And it was a pretty solid grade. I forget it was graded I want to say it was a 7.
Holy like crap.
1937 or 8. You know, that was nuts to me. Kind of decided I wanted that book, and I got it for a price I was happy with. Everything else went kind of nuts. And there were people there. It's a classic almost movie thing where there were some people there on phones. Like, I think the auction guys had helpers, and there's some guy from Chicago in LA on a phone. And, you know, they obviously prearranged that because they did all the thing, all the auctioning was live. And so there's no online component is my point. So anyway, there's this one book that comes up that John bids on. And I don't know what it is. I still can't tell you the title. Next time you see him, you have to ask him about it. And one of the guys on one of the phones was also bidding like crazy for it. And they all had kind of anticipated prices on these things. I want to say it was expected to go for like $1,000. I think John paid $10,000 for this book. And of course, afterwards, I'm like, John, what's that book? He's like, Todd, for decades, that book has been listed in the price guide, and they would have a caption with it that said, "We're not sure this book exists, and if it exists," exactly. And so that again, he read that for literally decades in the price guide. It was not sure that there was no confirmed copies of this book that Overstreet was able to say were in the world. So the speculation was that it got printed, and for some reason it never got distributed. So whatever copy made it out were just from the offices, like that. So that's why John's like, I'm gonna buy that book, and he did. So, and I don't know if he still has it or if he sold it since. But
what book is it?
I'm sorry, I don't remember. But
damn.
It's so, you know, I think it's a Doc Savage appearance. But not his first, you know, it's one of those real generic titles, like, I don't know.
Mystery, Yeah.
Mystery Adventures or something. Yeah, I don't know. Again, Haynes will be able to tell you. That's a good question for him. So,
all right, we have another question.
All right.
What is the largest collection you've ever looked at / bought?
Quantity-wise?
Yeah.
It's funny, that was my... I believe it was my Facebook memory just a couple days ago. So I think it's been 5 years now. I bought Sight Unseen, that stuff from California.
Yep.
It was, was it literally a million comics? Did we do the math? I think it was a million comics.
Yeah.
And it was maybe three and a half tractor trailers, all full, that was a store in San Diego area. I can't remember exactly the city. And the guy, unfortunately, had some health issues that he needed to finance. And basically, again, just people I've known over the decades. We had a mutual friend, and this mutual friend knew, hey, Todd's nuts. He'll buy big volumes of things. This guy had a store for 35 years, I think it was. Whatever it was at the time, it was more than me. So like, yeah, we're at 36 years this year with New Dimension Comics. So I think that year, so say it was 5 years ago, we were 31 years. This guy, I think, had a store for 35 that year. So he was a few years ahead age-wise. And he had stuff pretty well organized, but all the boxes didn't have lids. It's those crazy, slightly longer short boxes you've seen, John.
Mm-hmm.
He had them custom made because they fit on his shelves right, and they were a good weight, something like that. He's custom made, but no lids.
Yeah, they're like a 3/4 box. It's real weird.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. So, side note, I started selling those in the Elwood store. They're doing well. So when we have an empty van sometime, maybe do that in a store that has some room. I'm just selling for $1 a piece. Yeah, I think some people like them. They're discovering they fit well in their closet or, you know, in their lives. People are coming back and they're like, oh, I bought one, it worked, give me 5 more. So I end up, it turns out, like once a week I'm restocking them in Elwood. Anyway, it's, you know, it seems silly for $1 a piece, but at the same time we have hundreds of them easily. So because we can put all that into long boxes. So size wise that's it. That was a million comics. I didn't think it was a million, but my Facebook memory says it was a million. So
Yeah, I remember because then we did the math and we found out that you're now the third largest conglomerate of comics in the country versus.
I'll take that. I would wonder. You know, I think it's Mile High, Lone Star. I think there's another couple guys have a lot, and I don't know that they know how much they have. As part of, and even us, I'm not sure. It's hard. Like they're scattered everywhere. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think we ballparked ours at like 3.5 million, something like that.
Yeah,
because like
before, because and then yeah. You start adding up what's in the warehouses and.
Well, I think we did. I think with warehouses, I think we figured 3.5 to 4 was kind of the ballpark. So, and I can totally believe that because I've helped move almost all of it, and it sucks.
Yeah.
So,
I'm trying to find my Facebook memory to see if it tells me.
Okay, I'm just waiting to see if there's any more questions in the chat, which there are not yet. So. We still got like 15 minutes, guys. Come on.
Well, listen, I'll bow out. No, I'm
Well, I have something. I have something cool for you. So,
all right.
What is the weirdest or most unique piece of NDC merchandise you've ever had made?
That is a story for another time. We argue. So there's NDC merchandise, and I actually toyed with doing some different merchandise for different things.
Mm-hmm.
My brain just doesn't stop, and I there's a point where I was like, oh, I'm gonna figure this out, and I kind of don't want to confess what they are yet, but that might. I always joke I need to write down or make a book out of all the projects I almost did, and I think those are kind of interesting. But some of them involve some licenses and properties that I would maybe want to make sure those guys are okay with me revealing some of those details. You know, there's some of these involve meetings and it's crazy. But NDC merchandise, somewhere there is a Zippo lighter.
Nice.
I've always wanted to make a display of this stuff, even just for myself. I'm sure I have all this stuff, but There's some of our exclusive comic books that I don't have. Like I'm like, oh man, I'll have enough of those, and I'll just get one later.
Wrong,
they sold out. I think it's the second hack slash we did.
Yeah, the bubble time one.
No, that was the first one, and then we did one.
Talking about the girl in the red skirt, like the cosplayer cover.
Yeah, that one sold out.
Okay.
There's some really small print ones too. There's Teddy and the Yeti,
mm-hmm.
Local artist. I hope he's not listening. Can't remember his name. Where's our guy in the chair?
Oh, it's shit. Hold on. I know it.
Yeah,
I know it.
He asked if he could do an exclusive. I think he made 20. You know, it's one that's like you could self-publish him. And...
Give me a second. It's on the tip of my tongue, and I was just talking to somebody about it. It is Jeff McClelland.
Jeff McClelland, that's it. Yeah, I'm seeing
yeah.
The same.
Weirdly, cool. He applied to be staff at the con this year.
Oh, yeah?
I was like, do you not just, like, want a table? Like, I'm pretty sure we can put you on the other side if you want. I don't know. He's a teacher. Hey, he does some stuff, so. All right, well... I want to show everybody how easy it is to find some cool NDC merchandise right now. So you go into the NDC website, hit the shop button, brings you to this awesome thing here. Scroll down past your favorite store, past the other stuff, the eBay store. Go to this exclusive apparel section, click that sucker. Scroll down. So we have a couple different things. The main one, the newest one is actually, weirdly, our logo. And you can click this little button. And it shows you all these cool things. Now, all these things that you see here just get printed and mailed right to your house.
I'm thinking about the apron.
I know, right? I was actually like, I got to get you that for the next meat fest. You just got to tell me what color.
I don't think I want it for home, though. Like, I end up, if I deal with like a comic collection and it's really crappy and dirty.
That's fair.
I pick up the comics and I kind of cradle them a little bit, and usually they're kind of resting against my belly almost, and I'm thumbing through them.
Which like color do you want?
Like a fleece or something. I end up with all this comic dust on, not dust, like bits.
This also has a pouch.
I know, and that's what I'm thinking. I can put the price gun in there, a tape gun. Like, good to go.
Well, for $20.49 plus shipping, you can have that for yourself, Todd.
Let me think about it.
All right, hold on. Let me go back to NDC logo. All right. There's some other cool stuff in here. I bought some of this stuff to make sure it was actually cool. And it is very legit. I love that there's like a couple different kinds of mugs. Like there's this mug, and then there's this mug, and then there's the mug that has like the color inside, the contrast mug. Got a sweet water bottle.
That's one of my weird ones.
Baseball tees, my favorite.
Made a mug a million years ago.
Two different size of buttons. Really want Todd to buy me and the con teams, which is the duffel bag for our overnights. I am buying my dogs this dog bandana. Got a computer backpack, which is pretty sweet. We are out of stock of this, the mason jar. I bought Todd these socks for Christmas. I also own a pair. They do fit. Fit you? Did you not try them?
I haven't tried them.
Oh my god!
I don't know what's gonna happen to this, John. I appreciate it.
Look, you can get a camper mug for when you go to Pensac. Like,
all right, very period.
Right, exactly. I bought this canvas bag. It's pretty sweet. You can get a lunch bag and use it to shop in the stores and just store your stuff in there. That way we don't have to give you a bag. You can get an NDC mask. Sure. An iPhone 11 case if you want it. You got a stainless steel pint glass. That's pretty sweet. And then a regular bandana. So you guys can check all that stuff out right at our store. Oh, look. There is free standard shipping for the next 2 days. Check that out. All right.
There are playing cards. I forgot about playing cards.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. So we have I went back to the chat. We now have another question for you. You ready?
Ready. All right.
What is the one book that you don't have and want? But they said they think you told us this last time, but they forgot. So,
you know, I may have a slightly different answer. It's a bit of a tie. So I really want a Captain America one. And I kind of want a Batman one. So I'm a Batman guy. I had an opportunity to buy a Captain America one. Strangely, it was kind of a weird, fun story. Unfortunately, it does not have a good ending. It was on Free Comic Book Day. And strangely, we were talking about yard sales. It was a day that I was having a yard sale. The community I lived in at the time was the community yard sale day. So that Saturday, and something John's very kind to help out with, I would get reports from all the stores all during the day, because I'm not gonna be shy about this, it's our best sales day of the year. It beats Black Friday, it beats anything we do, you know, thanks to all you guys supporting it, is really what it is. You know, the nerds come out and they show their support, and it is reflected in our finances and our ability to keep firing comics your way. So the sales we were making that day, I was watching those, and it was ironic. It was just about the amount of money I needed to buy this Captain America one. And I was negotiating how to do this with this person. They were in the South somewhere. I want to say maybe Kentucky, Tennessee. And it's one of those kind of things, like I was going to jump in the car and, you know, that's a tangible drive. I could drive that in 8 or 10 hours, whatever it was. And then there's, you know, a question of how to make payments and all these sorts of things. And, you know, I really wasn't going to go down with a bag of cash. So, and I made that clear. Anyway, and this is, unfortunately, the story goes sour. It all sounded really, really good. And I started asking for, like, hey, can I get a scan of the back cover? And it was a graded copy. And one thing led to another, and things weren't matching up. And it turned out to be fraud. So luckily, I did not make any sort of payment or make any sort of travel. You know, I figured it out pretty quickly that it wasn't real. So they were taking pictures that they were just finding online for Google searches and representing it as if something they had. And at some point I found an inconsistency between a couple of pictures, and they're like, well, wait, this isn't even the same book. And they thought they'd get away with it, I suppose. So, and then I started researching the name. I have some nefarious sources to do that sort of work. And it was a name that was associated with problems. So anyway, didn't buy. Cool. So I want one just because I almost had one, I think is why I want a Captain America one. I don't know, classic cover and all. But I don't know, Batman one just be fun too. That's also a fun cover.
What is the lowest Batman you have? That five? Is that the lowest?
I have one a four. Yeah, I have a four. Oh, okay. I also have an 11. I don't know if you've seen the 11.
I don't know. I imagine there'll be cover. No, I don't think so. But I imagine at some point I'll be at your house and you can show me.
Bought that like 2 years ago. That's another one of those like I like reputation things that some guy inherited some stuff and read about us, found out about me. Classic Todd fashion, you know, he wanted to meet me face to face. I met him at a brewery and had a beer or two with him. He felt very comfortable with me. And it was a large, apparently Batman collection. And that was the only significant one, but he had a lot of other cool ones. They were from, I think it was his wife's father, uncle. And anyway, I didn't expect this at all, but like he felt so comfortable with me at the end of it. And that was the first time I met him. He's like, hey, I got the comics with me. Just take them, take your time and, you know, figure out the value. Let me know. I'm like, I appreciate that. But like, I don't keep other people's property long. Like anytime we get collections in stores, like when they get in front of me, I'm like, that's a priority. I'm making sure that gets done. So we have an answer, you know, if it's ours, then great. If it's not, then move on. So I did it. I think I did it that night or maybe the next morning. It was a lot of stuff. And he accepted the offer and I met him and wrote him a check. It was a distance issue, but anyway, that's how that happened. So yeah, Batman 11 is, do you want me to get it?
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'll give people time to put in one last question if they have any. Sure thing. Hang on. Just a reminder, guys, we got that event Cranberry Saturday. Come out for that. Cosplay karaoke next week. Fun times. And remember to shop your local comic store to pick up your new books every week and support local comics. Oh, man, I thought he knew where it was a little faster. Ooh, so... well, Ron, I think that question might be, I'll ask. All right, Todd. So did you find it first time?
Yeah. So they were together. So Batman 4. So I don't even love this book, but like it is the oldest Batman I've ever had. So I kind of like hang on to it. So the day I own 3 pours out the door. Probably, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. So 11's
what will I hold at Christmas?
So I grew up staying out of, I always tell people, I grew up staying out of trouble when I was a teenager playing poker. So I always liked this cover.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And obviously a Joker.
Biff Bam Pow.
Bought this in the rain in the parking lot of a brewery.
Wow. Crazy.
So again, I took them home, reviewed them. I didn't like them.
All right, so the question is, would you be willing to talk on another podcast simply about how you became a successful retailer, especially in the comic book industry?
I can probably 90-second answer, but sure.
I was like, I'm pretty sure he's going to make that answer now, and it probably can be answered in like 5 minutes. So why don't you just do that now, and then we'll think of other fun things for you to talk about next time you come on.
I'm going to steal this quote from somebody else, but when I hear a quote that resonates, you know, I'll take credit for it. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Somebody asked a similar question to some business guy, and his answer was, "Oh, you just do the same thing, and you do it for you do what you do, and you do the same thing, and you do it for 30 years. The joke is once you hit 30 years in that guy's estimation, you know you." That's successful enough. So the other thing, and I think I quoted this to you a few times that I live by is don't worry about competition. Don't worry about competing. If you stress out and try to like kind of overreact and like, we're lucky we're in a business where everyone gets along. We're all friends with these other guys. We help them out if they need help. You know, they would do the same for us. You know, used to be more aggressive about it where I'd visit stores and there'd be a new book we're out of and they had extras or vice versa. And, but still, you know, we're all getting along great. But like, there's no sense in stressing about, like, the point is if you just do a good job at what you do, that becomes your way of competing. You don't have to like if someone's having a sale for 30% off, don't have a sale for 30, you know, don't like, you almost, you're acknowledging them, and that's just do your thing, you know, and feel confident about it. You know, we move forward very confidently. I do. And sometimes it's silly, but I don't know. I'm in the silly phase of my career. So I'm called the legacy phase, whatever that is. I'm just doing fun stuff to do fun stuff. So getting custom beers made for our events is fun to me. Does it make us a lot of money? Probably not. It's probably a distraction. So, well, there's one year I made us money, but that's all right.
I will 100% agree to that statement. So, not that I don't like the beer, but you know.
Cool. I know, but at the same time, you can't have some fun, and I have fun doing all of it. So that's why, like, I'm still. You guys don't see me in the stores, but I'm doing this all the time, like day and night. Like, I'll get off of this and probably price. I bought my Silver Ridge collection, so getting the stuff ready for you guys. So almost all of that you get, like, I price my house and makes its way out. Well, basically, I wait till it's a full box and then. John and I figure out where to put it.
Cool. All right. Well, I thank you for all that you do, even though I don't say it all the time. And sometimes, you know, complain about it, but whatever.
Well, you let me stay because of what you do. I get to stay home in my pajamas, sip on beer, and pray Silver Age. So that to you.
Right. Right. So stop fighting me all the time, but it's fine. Oh, Ron says, I love NDC and think you guys do a great job. I'm so glad to find your store. The crew at the waterfront has enhanced my life. Thanks, guys. He also loves your Batman.
My what?
Your Batman. The Batman books you had.
I thought you said background. I'm like, we were trying to get a background. So, yeah. It's a little rough. It looks better on you know, the dark screen, I think, but I've never had one. I just wanted that book.
Eventually, so. I'm going to show you how to use like a fake screen, and we're just going to put like the warehouse behind you. And
yeah, well, it's funny. If I had a little more time, I almost hung a banner behind me or something. I could have done that, but I have them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all loaded up for Kane's weekend. So,
oh crap, that reminds me. If you have time, I need to know what size the Three Rivers stair step banner is, just so you know. At some point,
stair step,
the one that's just the logo, stair step, like where it's the two off, like the one that we take the people take pictures in front of at the con.
Oh, this is a step and repeat. I think. Yeah.
I don't remember what size. You have it somewhere.
You well, I don't know. I do.
Shit. So, Dan seconded Ron's. Ron's comment. So thank you, Ron and Don for being some of the more fun and awesome customers that I get to see. And I've learned who they were over the years. And it's always a pleasure to see you guys too. And you guys are the reason why we keep doing what we do. And we're the reason you guys keep coming back. So welcome to the circle.
The joke I make with people often is like when they're supporting us and I always thank them. I'm always very grateful and, you know, been at it for so long. The joke I always make is you guys prevent us from having to get real jobs. So
yeah,
thank you for that.
That's a fair comment.
usually if it's somebody who has a real job, they're like, oh yeah, that's nice. So, no, I'm a firm believer. You love what you do. So
I will tell you all though, it is actual work though. It is not just comics all day. Like
we don't sit around and read comics now. I can't remember last time I read a comic. I hate to say it. Yeah. People hate hearing that, but yeah. I would say I would rather take 15 minutes and figure out a cool project, a marketing scheme, like an event. I'd rather take time to do that or answer all John's emails. I could do that in 15 minutes, maybe. And he knows I'm doing that. So that's why.
It's too many emails anymore.
I have a pile of comics I would read. That might be a fun podcast. It's like, what's in Todd's reading? That's like my perpetual reading pile. But...
That'll be fun. Oh, we could play the how many people have you heard of that have hot selling books right now game. And I bet you'd only know three of like the top 10. But we'll save that for the next time.
Sort of related, I had a problem going through a collection the other day. It had all the new stuff in it. And I was like, I don't know. Is this in here because it's hot, or is it in here? And the guy was a bit of a speculator kind of guy. Mm-hmm. So multiples of things, image number ones, and like a bunch of new Avengers. Like, I'm like, I don't, is this a thing? And like one or a few of them I tried to look up, but like it was 15 long boxes. Like at some point I had to tag someone else in, like, I need help. Like, I don't understand why either this is the junk that didn't sell or isn't good, or this has merit. But anyway, we didn't get that one.
Ron recommends you read Crossover from this week. He said it was awesome.
New comic.
I will tell you that the reason I love doing this show is because it forces me to read new books every week, because I'm so busy that sometimes I forget why I'm still here and what I do. And while I'm building my Silver Age collection now, which, by the way, Todd, I moved on to Iron Man 1 to 100. I'll have a list for you of books I need. it is, you know, I still gotta kind of know what's going on in the newer section, and what's hot, what new nostalgia is hitting. Like, for instance, like Spider-Man 2099 is getting more heat again because he's going to be in Spider-Verse 2, the second Spider-Verse movie. Like as a main thing. So, you know, that book went from being a dollar staple to like a $10 or $25 book. Like, and it's.
Yeah.
So weirdly, Leonardi, who did that book, is working on the Life is Strange comic for that's based on the video game that everybody loves. So. Cool. All right. Well, there are no more questions, so I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you, Todd, for coming on and hanging out, and hopefully I will see you sometime before Monday. If not, I'll be in Elwood Monday, so see you there.
I should be a little bit of a... So it depends how this goes this weekend. Like, I'm hoping to have a van in for you. And I can't believe we're talking about this insider stuff.
Yeah, that's fine.
This is the excitement, guys. We talk about logistics all the time.
Yeah, this is literally how it starts. Like, we're having a regular conversation at the bar, and then within 15 minutes, it's where does this van need to be on this day, and what this collection, and how many boxes he has in his garage that need to go wherever, and why wasn't this box like put away, or why wasn't this filed, or why is this dude doing this, and like it's. All kinds of crazy. Like,
this stuff just doesn't happen. So,
yeah. Now everybody's just thanking you for coming on the show. So,
all right. Yes. Welcome and thank you. I feel like I didn't do justice to the who asked about like what's been the success secrets. Like, if there's maybe some specific questions, like I don't know. It really has just been relentlessly doing it for 30 years, and I just picked the number 30. We probably. Cross the success level prior to that, but it's like I can't imagine it not working now. I mean, you know, unless paper becomes illegal, then we're in trouble. But
I mean, the only thing I would chime in, because for me, it's not just about how successful I am, it's how the team that I work with, we are all part of that 100%. Yeah, so. Having surrounding yourself with good people is a good part of that. So,
did you want to have six stores? Like, no, it wasn't a plan. It just kind of happened, but it wasn't going to happen without like great people to help you get there. Absolutely. Like, I can't be in six stores. You can't, you know,
right. Gotta be a way to Yeah. You got to trust somebody. So, but yeah. All right, cool. Well, thanks again, guys. We'll see everybody next Thursday. Oh, no, sorry. Not next Thursday, because we'll be at Cosplay Karaoke. So we're taking a break week, and then we're coming back the week after that with the Pittsburgh Avengers to come on and talk about how they do some Marvel cosplay stuff. And then I do believe we have another guest for the last weekend of the month, but I'll let Tim discuss that once he comes back. So have a great week, guys. We'll see you next Thursday. Thanks for hanging out. And hopefully you had a good time. So.
All right. Thanks. Cheers.